On a show that talks about time traveling Bigfoot and alien sex cults, this is serious journalism, people.
Serious.
This time we mean it.
If you think that there are not birds that are not real, you're a moron.
At this point, I'm not throwing these weirdos out because maybe they're telling the truth.
Why does everything have to be a hidden conspiracy where the motives aren't really clear? Where you can't tell what someone's intentions are from their words? Why, Abby, why?
I feel like you're just not answering the question.
There is a pattern here that is definitive, and This leads us to the CEO's response, which is not the way that you want to play being accused of in a conspiracy theory.
If jet fuel can melt steel beams, why can't it melt passports?
I'm just thinking to myself, like, who thinks like this? Oh, the United States government thinks like this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Conspiracy Pill live from Rumble Studios. I'm your host, PJ Williams, and with me in person for only the third time in the history of Conspiracy Pill live is Abby Libby. How are you doing, Abby?
I'm Abby.
You are Abby.
I'm here live.
This is only the third time we've been in the same room doing this show.
Rumble Studio DC.
Abby's playing that awkward character again. That's definitely not her actual personality or lack thereof.
It's a character.
It is a character. So what are we talking about today, Abby?
We're talking about censorship. We're talking about Rumble. We're talking about ourselves because we like doing that. And then something a little extra special that you brought.
Yeah. So I found a group of neckbeard atheist Reddit Karens, I don't know what to call them, that are basically running Wikipedia and using Wikipedia and its influence over Google, YouTube, things like that to completely shape the narrative around anything that they don't like, whether it's holistic medicine, UFOs, especially UFOs. They call themselves skeptics, but they're just a group of angry debunkers. And they have too much power. They have too much power for being 62-year-old cat ladies who used to be former. Yeah. We'll get into it later. But that's where we're going with the show. We're going to talk about a group called Guerrilla Skeptics on Wikipedia. We're going to talk about censorship with YouTube. And I just got to say again, I'm so excited to be here in Washington, D.C. at the Rumble Studio. It's something we've been rumblers from the beginning.
Yeah. This is a big deal for us. We've never been YouTubers. We knew from the beginning of starting the show a year and a half ago that we were never going to succeed on YouTube if we were going to cover the things that we wanted to cover in the way that we wanted to cover them from a conservative Christian perspective. And so Rumble has been our home from the beginning, and we're very, very thankful to be able to speak freely here. And before we forget, memes at the end of the show, usually we would show memes during the Rumble section.
We would pull them up on Discord and show them on Rumble.
Yeah. But we're not going to be able to do that today. So in lieu of that, please send in your memes, tag us on Twitter @ConspiracyPill, and use the hashtag #RumbleTakeover. And we will see you and we'll be able to celebrate on Twitter this little special occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. So get some good memes in there. Yes. I know that some of you are working. This is not our normal time, but I see some meme masters in the chat. We can actually see the chat over here. Which is wonderful.
No excuses. Go to the bathroom and make a meme if that's what you have to do.
And look, I want to point something out too. I'm not in charge of the tech this time, so it just might work.
It might.
It just might. We have a producer in studio for the first time, so it's not my fault. It's not your whatever fault. Happens.
So the big point of today is that censorship is way more widespread and way more insidious than I think that any of us realize. We think usually about the obvious censorship when YouTube takes a show down or demonetizes you or gives you a strike. And we've certainly had a lot of that from mainstream platforms like YouTube and, and Twitch and Instagram and TikTok and all of that. And a couple notable episodes of ours that have been completely removed. You cannot get them on YouTube. You can only get them on Rumble. Season one, episode 21, Hillary Clinton, Nephilim DNA, and the Antichrist.
Yeah, that was
a good one.
It's still maybe the Hive Mind Agenda and that whole like long title yeah. that one has is my new favorite title, but that's my favorite title I came up with, I think, so far. And it's still one of my favorite episodes. Yeah. Still one in our like our top five most downloaded episodes on like RSS and iTunes and things like that. But yes, you can't even mention COVID-19, even in a nonchalant, this has nothing to do with the story way in any way at all. And then it's like everything you said is just gone.
You
like that one was surprising because I was expecting it to get taken down because I mentioned Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And then they cite us for like, you said the words COVID followed by the number 19 and you didn't say anything about it at all.
While conservative. You
said it while conservative.
That's what it is. That's honestly what it comes down to is that the reason they tell you they took you down is often not the reason that they censored you. Their rules are ambiguous and they have a lot of them. And if you're saying something they don't like, they'll just go through and find a legitimate reason to take
you down. I know we'll get to it in a minute, but at one point they just stopped telling us and they just started saying like, we're censoring you.
We don't like it. Yeah.
we don't have a reason, but we're implying new rules for
yeah.
who knows why.
Yeah. Another notable one, QAnon, our QAnon episode, which wasn't even pro QAnon. We don't even buy into the QAnon conspiracy theory, but they took that one down. Twitch got real mad about that.
Twitch got really mad about it.
They told us we were what? Supporting a terrorist organization?
Yeah. So even though our episode was QAnon, go listen to the episode, yeah, but like the basic gist of it is Abby had a third way of looking at QAnon. There's the way of, it's all real and Trump is like 4D chess, mega, mega, mega. And there's the other way, which is like, it's that it's a PSYOP, right? And you were like, I think this is just a LARP and it got out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of evidence to that fact. It was a very fun episode. There was no like pro QAnon anything. Yeah. But Twitch was like, you are now terrorists for having mentioned the 17th letter of the alphabet. Doesn't matter in what context. Goodbye forever.
Goodbye forever.
And it was pretty fun.
They were like, your channel, gone. Here's your $17.
That was what was so funny to me is they have like this payout structure where it's like you have to reach a threshold to yeah. get a payout and then it takes 2 months. And when they decided to ban us, they're like, here's all your money. Just leave and never come back.
Just go.
Here's $17 to shut up and don't come back. So
Chad is correct. I'm so sorry, Chad. You are so right.
It's QAnon.
It's
You're
QAnon.
Saying it wrong. We made a rule on this show that it's QAnon from now on.
We did.
I think Spencer Clavin made
that was,
that
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another notable one. Season 3, episode 18, Leave the World Behind. You were talking about the movie that came out that was produced by the Obamas, Leave the World Behind. Apparently you're not allowed to do that. Well, conservative.
Well, what I don't understand, YouTube is so weird with this one particular rule, and they've used it against us every time that they possibly can because it's not enforced realistically or honestly at all. And that's fair use policy. So if you play a part of a trailer, talk over it, say, hey, you know, here's my take on this thing. Video, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like people make their entire careers, paid careers on YouTube, watching other people's content and saying, wow.
Wow.
Oh, wow. You know, it's like Owen Wilsoning it for 12 minutes, adding nothing. And then because what they're doing is they're essentially like playing someone else's work and stealing it and they're getting paid for it. YouTube's fine with that. But if you have a 10-second clip of Megan Fox saying something about drinking blood and you're talking over it and, you know, like, pointing it out, they just get really mad and it's just insta-ban and they don't care about fair use policy. Yeah. You can cite their own rules back to them and they're just like, yeah, we get that we're wrong in this situation, but you know, middle finger.
We don't like you. So. Yeah. Season 3, episode 20, the depopulation agenda. Now in YouTube.
That one we knew was going to get banned before we even started it though.
That one was honestly intentional. Like we put stuff in the hashtags about vaccines. We were like, we dare you to take this one down. And they did.
It's funny because I don't think we've ever really gone out of our way just to piss off YouTube exactly. It's just that we've said everything that we wanted to say without fear of what YouTube's going to do.
Yes.
And I think that's been kind of the defining thing about our show is it's not about who we agree with or if we're saying the right thing for this side or that side or YouTube or Rumble or whoever. It's just, we're saying everything that we think and we feel led to and that our research shows us. To be either true or plausible. And we have those conversations in a more honest way that we're not like, how do I use an acronym well enough or a euphemism well enough to not get censored and slip
up? Last one, Freemasons, season 3, episode 21.
I have no idea what some, I mean, I do. I just don't remember what they said it was. I think this was at the point where they're just like,
they said,
like, yeah, no. And yeah. I don't think they ever cited a reason what we did wrong. One time YouTube tried to censor us over the music that my brother made for the show years ago. And they're just like, that's copyright from yourself. I was like, okay.
What are you talking about?
It's like, yeah, so who knows? I don't think they ever gave us a reason for the Freemason one.
Yeah. Some episodes we got strikes on. They didn't take them down, but we got strikes. We fought them and we got the episode put back up. Mm-hmm. Season 1, episode 6. I mean, right out of the gate, episode 6 that we ever did. Adrenochrome and Pizzagate. But that is actually back up now. So I don't know.
I'm shocked that one is up. That was the one where I was like, all right, this one's going to be not back up.
Season 1, episode 22, cannibalism and vampirism in mythology and Hollywood. That was the Megan Fox one.
That was the Megan Fox one. Yep. Yeah. That was the second time that we used that clip and they were like, no.
Yeah.
Because that's what got that's what got Adrenochrome taken down the first time.
Yeah.
And I fought it for fair use reasons. They put it back up. When it came to that one, did they put it back up again, but we had to fight it again?
I think we
got a hard strike.
We kept our strike. Hard to remember. They put it back up, but they left
kept the strike.
Yeah.
Okay. As in, you're right. You did nothing wrong, but strike.
But here's a strike. Okay. That's fair. Marina Abramović, The Witch, The Warlock, and Ukraine, season 3, episode 6.
That one was weird because it was just gone. They never sent us anything. They just deleted it.
They just took down.
And then I re-uploaded it and it was like, fine, but it's just like, it was there. People were watching and then it was gone. No explanation.
When they can't think of something to strike us for, we'll frequently get emails like, you can't monetize your video, which is extra funny.
Almost every single video.
Yeah. We're not even monetized. And they'll be like, by the way, you can't monetize this.
We were monetized. And then
we're not monetized now and during when they sent these emails. Examples, Mandela Effect episode, because reasons.
I don't remember what it was either.
Clinton body count episode for, I think, probably obvious.
The obvious reasons.
it's always, always something. So currently we have one active strike on the channel. And one of our goals for 2024 is to get completely banned from YouTube. Because I feel like when that happens, we'll have arrived.
Yeah, there we go.
So the point of all that is that no matter how much YouTube censors us, no matter how much Instagram takes things down, no matter how much we get hit by any of these platforms, it doesn't matter. And we don't feel it. We just laugh about it. It's not something like, oh no, we've lost viewers. We've lost money. This is hurting. It doesn't hurt us because we have designed our show in such a way that they don't have any power over us. There's nothing that they can do to us that matters, because on March 22nd, 2023, we demonetized our own YouTube channel. We clicked the button and said, no, we're not going to make any money here, so that you can't hold this over our heads as a reason. Because why did we do that?
Well, I mean, we started the show with the very clear intention of never censoring ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then we started making a little bit of money off of YouTube. And without thinking about it, we started calling each other out on it and noticing, like, you almost said something and you didn't. Mm-hmm. And you are being held hostage by the, you know, however much money that YouTube sends you a month. And as that dollar amount grows, and as your wife and your kids and your newborn baby are expecting that income, the more you're going to be like, I can justify not being honest.
Yeah.
And then we don't have the show that we built, and we don't have the reason for the show that we built. And I'm not having fun anyway, to be honest. So we just said, you know what? This is a soft form of bribery, and we're just not going to do this.
It's far more than these platforms ever censor us. We censor ourselves, and almost every creator in the conservative space, almost everyone who's out there speaking truth is doing this, is self-censoring to some degree, whether it's using euphemisms or trying to avoid certain topics, telling guests before the show, hey, we're not going to go
here. We get that conversation on every show we go on, or they don't have that conversation with us and they go, I'm glad this wasn't live. I have to edit this before we put it out.
Because I'll say something in the microphone like, well, frazzle drip.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a fun episode. Shout out to Paranoid American. He's a great guy.
every time we have a guest on our show, they'll ask us, are there things we can't say? And we say, no, you can say anything you want because we're on Rumble and they're not going to censor us. We've built this so that we can say whatever we want. So that self-censorship piece, I think, is not talked about enough. There are other forms of censorship. So there's the obvious bans and strikes and demonetizations. There's the less obvious, the self-censorship that happens all the time. And then there's the shadow bans. And we talk about this a little bit, but I don't think we talk about it enough because I think that it is a more powerful form of censorship than people realize, because a hard strike, a hard ban has a way of emboldening creators a lot of times. Like, oh, you told me I can't say this. Ha, I'm going to say it even louder. But when you're just shadow banned, you don't know if you're shadow banned or right. If it's just because you suck. And creative people just sit there and stew over that.
Yeah, and then you end up not actually creating good content. You like psych yourself into being worse at what you do. Mm-hmm. I was part of the 2020 TikTok creator, conservative creator boom. And I jumped up to, you know, tens of thousands of TikTok followers really quickly. And I was getting invited on shows and making these friendships with people. And everybody around me was getting banned off of TikTok and coming back 0.4, 0.5, 0.6, mm-hmm. you know, like version, you know, 9.
Yeah.
And it never happened to me. And I was just like, I could tell that there were people go, you know, there was my opinion on this, not to, you know, whatever, but is that I saw the people who were getting deleted and emboldened. And mm-hmm. I saw the people who started spinning their wheels and what am I doing wrong? That my videos were 1.5 million, 2.5 million, 30 people. Like, do I suck? And you start to like, mm-hmm. and I think it's one of those forms of gaslighting where like, if you understand where gaslighting comes from, like, the idea is from a movie where this guy's like turning down the gaslight a little bit more each night. Mm-hmm. And his wife is noticing it, but it's so gradual that she's like,
she can't prove it.
But when you think about it, like you could technically like start testing and proving as time goes, like, oh, it is, you know, generally gaslighting is provable by records and recordings and things mm-hmm. like that. This is a type of gaslighting that is unprovable and therefore more psychologically like, weird.
It is.
But I think it's like one of those things is like, I think they know the type of people who are going to be deterred by getting slapped on the wrist mm-hmm. and be like, okay, I'm sorry. And the type of people who are so into their own heads of like, I'm a creative person and I already, you know, struggle with, as every creative person does, I struggle with like self-doubt and stuff like that. And if you can just like crank up that self-doubt in enough people, you can control what they say, I think.
100%, because there are so many creators who will sit there and be like, I have lost all my views. And whether it's because they suck or it's because of shadow banning, either way, it almost eventually doesn't matter. They'll change their speech to fix it.
Eventually they will suck though. That's the thing that nobody talks about is eventually they're like, this isn't working. And then they lose that magic, like that part of themselves that made what they have to say and do interesting. And they just stop being interesting.
One solid example of this, we just went on our friend's show, Paranoid American. Shout out to Paranoid American. I think that episode will be out.
It'll be out like next week, I think.
Yeah, we'll post it. But at the end of the show, he asked us what our position on the Israel-Palestine conflict was. And we...
Softball question, he's like, says. This is
and we told the truth that we're... we think Mossad's pretty evil, but we're generally pro-Israel and all of that. And anyone who's been on our show any length of time knows how we feel about this topic. But so we answered honestly. And then at the end of the show, he was joking and saying that he was going to have to edit our responses to be pro-Palestine because that is what the YouTube algorithm boosts. They will suppress pro-Israel takes and pro-Israel shows and boost pro-Palestine. And that is such an insidious form of controlling speech. Not only is it normally we think of censorship as like stopping you from saying something, but this is kind of controlling what you do say
into what we're going to be going into in a minute with the whole Wikipedia thing like that. It is a twofold censorship. It is boosting and libeling. It is, you know, it's creating the divide in both directions, who you're elevating, who you're promoting, who you're putting on the front page, who you're putting in the fact check on the bottom of the tweet, who you're, you know, whatever it is. It's like, we're elevating enough people that have the opinion we want mm-hmm. that we don't even have to devalue the other people as much.
Yeah.
Because the divide is just growing and growing and growing in that
And it shifts the Overton window,
right,
artificially, where it gives this perception that certain opinions are common and certain opinions are acceptable and certain opinions are taboo, because you're never hearing one type of opinion because it's so suppressed.
All right. Yeah.
But there's another one. There's another one that I haven't heard anybody talking about ever. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, this is pretty common on our YouTube, which you most guys videos, all watch on Rumble. Yeah. So, but most of our videos on YouTube have some sort of, if you look right under the video, there's this little note from Wikipedia, and it'll say what the topic, the headline of the article is. It'll hyperlink the Wikipedia article. I think it's just labeled context or necessary
context. You know, I think necessary context, something like that. Yeah.
Yes. And it'll have like the first paragraph of the Wikipedia article and it'll just link to it.
Which is a really Orwellian way of saying like, we've already determined what you're supposed to think about the topic.
Yeah.
Don't listen to someone deep dive on it for 3 hours. It's well researched. Read two sentences and
of this
arbiter of truth.
Yep. So I call it getting wiki noted, like community noted on. But yes, there's been that one on a lot of our different shows. Some examples are both of our 9/11 episodes are wiki noted. The Vegas shooting episode, season 3, episode 7.
Right.
The Titanic episode. That one surprised me. Like that they even care about the historical conspiracy theory stuff.
Cause it's a no risk conspiracy theory.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt anybody.
It's an absolutely like this happened 110 years ago. And, what you think about it this way or that way affects literally nothing about your life. Like, I love that they are so schoolmarmy that they're like, even the low risk, because those are fun. Yeah. Like low risk conspiracies are fun. The ones that don't really have, you know, you can believe anything you want about it and it doesn't really change anything. They're even like, we just have to have the grip on truth and everything.
Answered Sater in chat says, I have never seen PJ this well lit. Ginger confirmed.
Yeah. Look guys, hold on. Five fingers. Let's stop the Nephi talk.
It's a green screen.
We had Joel Thomas on the show. We know that he's very open about the fact that he's a Nephilim. But
and you have the exact same color hair.
We do not. I thought I looked more blonde today.
If that's what you got to tell yourself, okay. PJ. Moon landing episode, flat earth episode. And this is all funny to me because the Titanic.
Context matters not.
Like We think that the Titanic sank because it hit an iceberg. Like we didn't even believe that conspiracy theory. We weren't pushing that conspiracy theory. We just presented it, but it doesn't matter. They have to be like, just so you guys know, this is not a topic you're allowed to question because you're not allowed to question tragedies, even if it was years and years ago. We think the Earth is round.
I think it's a big booty Latina. It's that round.
I think it's round. PJ has some other ideas about what shape it might be.
I think it's thick.
You think
three
it's thick?
C's. It's different thick, than round, but it's similar.
Thick earth.
Thick earth
theory.
There's not enough people in the thick earth theory communities on Facebook and Reddit, but I'll change that.
We think the moon landing was real
ish.
I mean, really what we all know what happened. So if you guys have listened to our Atmospheric Beasts episode, which was pretty recent, season 4, right?
Yep.
Possibly there's sky whales and sky jellyfish in the mesosphere. So you know we all know that NASA was, they just needed an excuse to go up there and study the totally real sky whales. And so they were like, what are we going to do? Let's just tell everyone we're going to the moon when we're just going to the mesosphere to see the whales, as one does. And they were like, let's get this guy Stanley Kubrick to film our moon landing, to fake our moon landing. But Stanley Kubrick is, of course, such a perfectionist that he demanded that it be filmed on location on the moon. So that's why we got a moon landing.
Yep.
It was pretty real.
Yeah.
But you just, they'll just never tell you about the sky whale stuff. So I think I'm hilarious. That's my favorite moon landing conspiracy. My other favorite answer to the moon landing people is just be like, you believe the moon is real? What an idiot.
Some people. They're just honestly, fooled by everything.
I know. They'll buy any narrative. Anything NASA tells them, they'll just believe it. We buy into a lot of the conspiracy theories we cover, but definitely not all of them. But no matter how you cover it, YouTube will wiki note you. Tell us about these guerrilla skeptics.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Wiki Notes and skeptics. And,
me too.
And honestly, for people who are new to our show, or even if you've been listening for a while, I think it's pretty clear that this is there's two labels I'm not afraid of, and both are used wrong. And the first one is a conspiracy theorist. I've never been afraid of this label. It was, again, I don't care how crazy it sounds, it's true. It was created by the CIA to get people to not look at JFK. Everybody knows this part of it, right? It's a term to make you feel small and stupid. The term that you're supposed to feel good about is the skeptic term. But it's also used incredibly, incredibly wrong, because I would consider us skeptics. I think that at this point, there's probably almost as many episodes where we're like, yeah, that's probably not true, as, yeah, I believe this conspiracy theory. Because in order to be a conspiracy theorist, you have to be skeptical of the mm-hmm. narrative anyway. Like, those two terms are almost interchangeable in my mind. They're just used wrong. And instead, you've got this group of like I said, neckbearded atheist Redditors or Karen Wiki users called Gorilla Skepticism on Wikipedia. And they're not skeptics, they're debunkers. But the story basically goes, and this will be a short version because I realize in researching this that the whole skeptical community and its ties to controlling the narrative, even going into the CIA and others, is a really deep conspiracy theory. And I think this is going to end up being like a two-parter in the next couple of months. So this will be like a briefer version of it. But there's this guy named Rob Heatherly, and he was into the UFO, UAP stuff, and he's paying attention to Luis Elizondo and all this stuff. And that's what his Twitter page is about. When he gets on, he notices that there's no longer a David Grush Wikipedia page, how many times have we brought this up, where you can see the link and it's black and yeah. you can't click on it. And if you have to go to the Wayback Machine, maybe you can find a copy of it. But like, whole Wikipedia pages on real people,
yeah.
real important people, people hyperlinked in other Wikipedia pages, gone. And there's a reason for that. So he notices there's no longer a David Grush page. Instead, there's a David Grush UFO whistleblower claims page. As in, he's not a person, he is an incident in his life. And it's an incident in the title framed negatively.
Yeah.
Right? Which is scary to think about. So it doesn't end there. He sees this, and he's really smart at like how Wiki works. And I'm learning a lot about Wikipedia myself. He said that if you use the mobile version, it's easier to see who edited it. And you can actually like look at the edit logs. These are things I didn't know. So I'm learning a lot. And he notices there's this guy named Lucky Louie who's been editing all these pages. And he lists on his Twitter page that he's editing Ross Colehart, Tim Burchett, Bob Lazard, Jacques Vallée, George Knapp, Chris Mellon, Gary Nolan, Jeremy Corbell, Hal Putoff, all names you've probably heard on our show. He's basically doing all the UFO-related pages. He's doing other what are considered bunk, pseudoscience, religion, conspiracy theory, paranormal, COVID-19, and COVID-19 lab leak pages, and more, according to Rob Heatherly. This one guy is spending his whole life editing all of those pages. So he keeps digging into this Lucky Louie guy, and he finds out that his name is constantly next to another one named Jojo Anthrax and one named S. Gerbic in the edit notes of Wikipedia pages. And they're doing things like removing doctor from Hal Putoff's page. They're doing things like adding criminal in the first two sentences of Bob Lazar's page. They're basically going through and making sure that words like crackpot, criminal, crazy are showing up, that people's professions are not being listed, and that if they are a person who's like David Grush linked to an incident in his life, that the David Grush page doesn't list that he's a vet, that he's done all these things, that it's just David Grush conspiracy claims. And it's so heavily geared towards the skeptical debunker community.
I love
how not skeptical, right?
Yeah. This is the Wikipedia bell curve, right? Yeah. When Wikipedia first came out, all the teachers were like, don't cite Wikipedia because it can't be trusted because anyone can edit it. And then we got to the middle of that bell curve where we're like, oh, everybody trusts Wikipedia. You can find anything about anything. It's right. trustworthy. And now we need to reach the other side of the bell curve where it's like, no, we can't trust Wikipedia.
Not everybody can edit it. A select few people are editing it, yeah. and they are liars.
Yeah, exactly.
They have deep agendas, and so we're going to get into their agendas. But he found out these three people have a connection to a group called Gorilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, and they literally brag about their conspiracy, quite literally a conspiracy, to libel anyone they don't like and bolster anyone who plays by their rules, right? So this was founded by Susan Gerbic in 2010. And it evolved out of a Facebook group called Gorilla Skeptics. And what the Facebook group was about is setting up what they call, I love the language of these people because they're so idiots, stings on mediums.
What?
Like, yeah, they call it stings. And it's like, oh, don't worry, guys. we went to a medium and we just like agreed with everything they said. And then we proved that they were lying. And it's like, no way. A psychic on a hotline was lying. You have completely taken down anybody who believes in the paranormal, UFOs. Yeah, you fooled us. You got us, Susan.
You got it.
Good job. Like, it's just so dumb. It's like lowest hanging fruit, right? It's like even the people who believe, like us, who believe in the paranormal, are not thinking that 1-900 psychic lines are anything other than like some low grade form of mentalism. Yeah. But anyway, whatever. I think they got us on that one. So now in order to join Gorilla Skeptics on Facebook, applicants are required to complete a training course on editing Wikipedia pages, promoting skeptic viewpoints, and improving the entries of individuals within the skeptic community itself. And you can only then, when you go through all that and meet the criteria on their website, can you join a private Facebook page.
Oh my God.
Literally, I love that it's on Facebook, literally titled The Secret Cabal. These people have such a good sense of humor.
The secret cabal.
The secret cabal.
Facebook group.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I'm scared of these people.
Well, what's crazy is these are the type of people who just should not have power. I think that actually makes them a little bit scary in some ways.
That's true.
So the secret cabal, last update that I could find, consists of more than 150 editors working on thousands of Wikipedia pages every day. And the result of this is that hundreds of people around the world, because they have the multiple languages. Susan Gerbic talks about this. They're like, we need to make sure every language of Australians and Brazilians and Russians and everything are tweaking minuscule details in a decentralized attempt to avoid any one person of being accused of defamation. And they absolutely are committing defamation and getting away with it over and over and over again. But again, we've seen this tactic being used constantly by the left, Black Lives Matter and things like that, or Antifa. As long as we're decentralized, as long as you can't point to a leader, or even if you can, we're not officially structured in a certain way. Like Susan Gerbic's the leader of this, but it's still decentralized enough they can get away with it. Because again, what's the point of Wikipedia? That anybody can edit it. Which is not true, by the way. But you're supposed to think that.
You can't sue Susan.
Right, exactly.
For what somebody maybe in...
But it's liable. It is legally liable, but... Well, not legally, I guess, but it is liable. So,
it is, but you can't hold anyone accountable for it.
So, and by the way, like, I don't recommend anybody do this, but I listen to hours of Susan Gerbic interviews. Don't recommend it. But she talks about boosting people like Neil deGrasse Tyson. And it was very, just notice me, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I love you, Neil. It was just fangirling over Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Does she not know what he
did? She doesn't know when to shut up.
Does she not know what he did to Pluto?
She doesn't know what he did to Pluto. He was skeptical of Pluto. Jeez. Pluto's a conspiracy theory. I believe in Pluto.
I do believe in Pluto.
What she says is she's like, look, we knew Neil deGrasse Tyson was going to do this interview and it was going to be big and people were going to look into him 60 minutes or something. So we made sure that his page was squeaky clean, that it just praised him and just boosted him. And that way when people got on there, they would just know that this part, because he's part of the skeptic community, he's part of Skeptoid and all these people, that they would know that he's a wonderful shining beacon of truth that you can trust. And isn't he a wonderful, handsome black man? It was really creepy. That's all I'm getting into. But while they're doing that, they're libeling people like Luis Elizondo.
Yeah.
His first label on his Wikipedia page is as a media personality, then followed by his profession, even though he was never a media personality. He did an interview or two with Tucker Carlson because he was a whistleblower, a government employee who was a whistleblower, right?
Let me get this straight. So Neil deGrasse Tyson is the science. He's a scientist. But somebody who did a couple interviews is a media person.
Hasn't done interviews in years, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson is as much a scientist as I am. Like, the guy is an astronomer who goes out and speaks about everything, like biology, chemistry. He's basically Bill Nye, but with a degree. Like, he's just like one step. Whatever you think of him, if you like him, if you think he's a real scientist, I'm not saying he's not technically a real scientist, but he is a media personality first and foremost. He's constantly speaking about stuff that he has no degree or expertise in, but because he's the science. Again, it's a guy who basically looked at Pluto and went, yeah, it meets all the criteria of every other planet, but I don't think it is one. Like, brilliant. I could have never thought of like redefining a word. just genius level stuff. I'm sorry, I'll shut up about it. But what they did with Luis Elizondo is they label him as a media personality. They don't right away include who he is, what his profession is. Then it says it is questionable whether or not he worked for ATIP, which it's not questionable. It's not questionable, but it says it is.
Yeah.
It also says, also, it took him months, almost a year, actually, to get his birthplace changed. They put that he was born in Florida. He wrote Wikipedia. He edited Wikipedia. Susan Gerbic overrid his edits and said, we need citations. So he sent Wikipedia his birth certificate.
Holy crap.
And they overrid it again in favor of Susan Gerbic. It does now say he's born in Texas, but as of last month, it didn't. Like, you can look for months and months and years. This guy's like trying to say, look, I'm a Texan. We're all very proud of being Texans. I was born in Texas. Can I just list on my own Wikipedia page where I was born? And they're like, nope. Susan Gerbic gets to decide that you were born in Florida and she's the arbiter of truth. You're just a guy who maybe worked for ATIP, even though you did for sure. Like, it's not even questionable that he worked for ATIP.
What does Susan gain by making him be born in Florida?
Power.
I mean, it's just power?
It's literally just a power thing.
This is a petty.
Like, when it's petty. Well, she's so petty. I know we'll get off topic a little bit. She's so petty that there was one basketball player, Lamar Odom, I think, and she's like, in an interview, she spent 25 minutes going on about this story. She was so proud of herself. She's like, Lamar Odom once promoted a bracelet that was pseudoscience. It said that it could, like, you know, align your chakras or some dumb shit. Like, who cares, right?
Right.
He's some dumb basketball player. And she's like, I had to make sure the very top thing on his Wikipedia page, look, he's a basketball player. He's incredibly famous. I think he dated a Kardashian. Like, there's a million things everybody cares about.
Right.
But I had to let people know that 12 years ago, he did a commercial for a bracelet that was pseudoscience and debunked. And it's at the top of his Wikipedia page. And I fought for months to make sure that edit stuck.
How does she have that much power over the people at Wikipedia?
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, no, it's just like, what petty tyrant wants you to know that if you ever once believed something that turned out not to be true, that she is going to destroy your life, that nobody can know you for your basketball or your celebrity status or anything about you that's actually interesting, that people going to Wikipedia for Lamar Odom want to know about him. No, she wants to make sure that you know and other people know. It's like, nice, you know, nice Wikipedia page you got there. Be a shame if something happened to it. Jeez. And that's who she is. She's just this petty tyrant, right? So, basically, what they're doing is they've created the biggest internet circle jerk this side of Pornhub. I don't know how else to put it. These people are like, what she'll do, and she's admitted to this, she'll do interviews with other members of the secret cabal, right? Including her boyfriend, who's some mentalist or something like that.
Of course.
She'll do, she admitted to doing this. She'll do interviews, record the interview, put it out on a page that nobody listens to or watches, just so she can cite herself or her guest as a source on a Wikipedia page about someone that they decided to talk about. So what she'll do is she'll be like, I want this thing said about this person. So I will interview my boyfriend, put it on Facebook.
Wow.
And now I can cite that on Facebook at the top of the Facebook page as a confirmed source on what this person is and who they are.
Wow.
She admits to doing this. Then they also sponsor Brian Dunning, who you guys have heard me talk about before. He's the hobby podcaster host of Skeptoid. And if you've ever listened to Skeptoid, it's 15 minutes of Wikipedia says this about a subject. Therefore, anybody saying something different is a lie. And guess who lists him as a source almost on all of these pages? On almost every page relating to UFOs, the paranormal, anything, they list Brian Dunning as a source. So Brian Dunning reads Wikipedia, says, well, this is what Wikipedia says. Then Wikipedia quotes Brian Dunning saying, well, this is the truth.
Wow.
And he's funded quite literally by these people. He says at the end of his show. So it's just, like I said, it's just this big circle jerk, right? They brag about how she brags in an interview about how they got words like crackpot put in the top two sentences, and how what she says is, look, people are dumb. They're only reading the first two sentences of Wikipedia. And conveniently enough, what shows up at the bottom of every one of our videos? The first two sentences of Wikipedia.
Yep.
And she says, that's all people read. That's all they see on the YouTube video. And I made sure that if you're talking with, when we do an episode about Bob Lazar, it will say libelous, criminal, whatever in the first two sentences before people watch our video. Like, that's what she's proud of and talks about. So you might think that this arbiter of truth has some scientific background.
You might.
Like, what would you think her job before? I really want you guys. I almost told you this yesterday. I'm like, nope, I'm going to save this for the show. What would you think that her job was prior to being the leader of
this skeptic
community?
Cabal.
Yeah.
The some cabal. Like government ministry of something.
Okay. So she is the recipient of the 2022 National Capital Area Skeptics Philip J. Class Award for outstanding contributions to critical thinking and scientific understanding, with about five other such awards. She's a consultant for the Committee of Skeptical Inquiry, which is what they say on their website is, quote, promotes scientific inquiry, critical investigation, and use of reason in examining controversial and extraordinary claims. We've talked about these people before on our Stargate episode. Mm-hmm. Since 1976, they've offered $100,000 to whoever can prove the existence of the paranormal or psychic abilities in a lab setting. Here's what's crazy. They famously have been sued by Uri Geller, who did, by all accounts, prove that he could read what was on papers in a safe in another room repeatedly over and over and over again. And they said, even though it met our scientific standards, he had to have cheated. They've never been able to prove how he cheated or if he cheated, but they just, on his Wikipedia page, by the way, says he cheated. He's suing them. And guess who runs his Wikipedia page?
Susan
Gerbic, who he's suing.
That's amazing.
Runs his Wikipedia page. So no conflict of interest there. So that's her. She literally is in charge of a scientific lab setting. We determine the truth thing.
Wow.
This lady has to have PhDs. According to her own Wikipedia.
Oh, no.
Quote, Gerbic worked at Life Touch, a portrait studio in JCPenney in the Northridge Mall in Salinas from 1982 for 34 years, including as a manager. She's a glam photographer at JCPenney for 34 years. Yeah. That's her qualification.
So she's a loser, is what
she's
she is.
A loser.
This is why you can't.
She's a Wikipedia. She's Wikipedia's Karen.
This is why you can't give losers power.
Excuse me.
Don't die, yeah. PJ. Live. Don't die live at Rumble Studio.
I'll try not to die live at Rumble Studio. DC. So who pays for this is the question. Again, this is going to be a shortened version. We're going to get into this much deeper, but I found two things that I want to at least bring up. First is, let's go back to that Luis Elizondo piece, right? Where it's they say it's questionable that he worked for ATIP. Where does this come from? It comes from two sources, a guy named Keith Clore and a guy named Art Levine. Keith Clore is really interesting because he is a freelance journalist who's written for Nature, Science Insider, Slate, Discover Magazine, and a bunch more. And what he was doing was he was covering an investigation into academia's ties to the pesticide industry for science publications. And if people are a fan of our Locals work, if you guys go to conspiracypill.locals.com, I think it was like our first or second or third episode was, are they turning the frickin' frogs gay, right?
Yeah.
And in this, we talked about a guy named Tyrone Hayes and how it's like all these emails and proof and stuff of how the pesticide industry literally tried to destroy this man's life for proving that atrazine did in fact turn frogs gay. Like the whole Alex Jones line is real and it's proven. And if you're familiar with that story, and again, if you're not, just for people who might be new to us, every Thursday night at 7 p.m., we do a bonus unhinged episode on Locals. So it's conspiracypill.locals.com. For $5 a month, you get an extra episode every week, or for $50 for the year, you get a whole year of bonus content, so 2 months for free. And that's one of our episodes. But this guy, he was part of this whole thing, this inquiry into it. And
is Alex notes Jones here. Over here with the paper.
Yeah, I feel like I'm finally Alex Jonesing it with like real papers in my hand. So the emails prove that this guy was coaching and editing sources to give the appearance of broad support for GMOs. And you can read this whole thing at the US Right to Know or USRK.org. You can also read more about this at tinyklaus.com. And in it, he goes through basically this guy, Clore, who for some reason is writing these skeptical articles about David Grush and Luis Elizondo and all this stuff. And why is a guy who has been proven to be a paid shill for Monsanto, who was literally editing papers for people saying, no, this is what you're going to say, professor, that way you can continue to get your funding. Why is a Monsanto shill? By the way, this guy was going, like, getting paid to go to Monsanto classes and all this stuff. There's a whole long story about this. Again, tinyklaus.com if you guys want to read more about this. What they say is the links to Monsanto that they talk about, they detail going down this list, links to Monsanto to the recovery of crashed UFOs and the study of Indian burial grounds. And this is all brought out in a declassified 1948 document about the Manhattan Project. So that sounds fascinating, Abby Slick.
There's always an Indian burial ground, right? But that's, how do you, okay, UFOs, Indian burial ground,
Manhattan, pesticides, right?
Pesticides, Manhattan Project. Like, how?
It's fast. Again, that, well, this will be a future episode, okay. But I just thought if I could bring up Indian burial grounds and UFOs and Manhattan Project. But that's where it goes. If you guys want to read about that, we'll be covering it in greater detail. But beyond just the fact that there's some weird connection between Monsanto funding skeptics and those same skeptics also being skeptics in the UFO community, there is, according to, I got to find this paper, according to the ex-Wikipedia co-founder, he says that the site was hijacked by U.S. intelligence for information warfare. So according to this article, I forgot where this comes from, Western Journal. Yeah. It says Wikipedia co-founder Lawrence Mark Sanger has accused U.S. intelligence agencies of manipulating the online encyclopedia for nearly two decades. In an interview with Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist Glenn Greenwald, Sanger claimed that Wikipedia had become a tool of control in the hands of the United States establishment, which includes CIA, FBI, and other intelligence agencies. He says, quote, "We do have evidence that even as early as 2008, that CIA and FBI computers were used to edit Wikipedia," Sanger stated in an interview. "Do you think they just stopped doing it back then?" And then he says his claims shed light on the alleged infiltration of Wikipedia by intelligence agencies and a perceived ideological shift on the platform. He says, quote, "Just how do we get to a point where truth is tied to a particular ideology?" Sanger highlighted the gradual change he observed in Wikipedia's content over the years, noting that from 2006 to 2008, articles related to controversial subject topics such as science, such as global warming, and certain drugs began to exhibit what he described as an over-the-top bias. Hmm. And this is one last quote I'm going to read. It says, "Then I started noticing around 2010, which is when Guerrilla Skeptics of Wikipedia was founded, to 2015, the articles like Eastern Medicine and Holistic Medicine were so obviously biased," Sanger continued, "suggesting a bias towards Western ideas that really is over the top between 2013 and 2018, he added. So wow. One of the things that Susan Gerbic also brags continuously about is being featured on Walmart's like Wikipedia page as like the person who, you know, like is behind the push to, against any type of other medicines. It's just a weird claim. Yeah. She's just like, Walmart recognized me for saying that holistic medicine is bunk science.
Imagine bragging about Walmart liking you.
Dude, the things she brags about are weird. But again, you have a she's older than that. Nearly 70-year-old cat lady.
Oh my
God. Literally in her interviews, she's like, "Oh, that's my cats. I live at home by myself with my cats." I was a glamour photographer for 34 years. Did you guys know? She's so starved for attention from living her whole life as a loser that now you give her power. Like, this is COVID power syndrome all over again. Like, as soon as you give a door greeter power over you to make you wear a mask coming into a store, the guy becomes an absolute petty tyrant over his tiny
Someone
kingdom.
Who has no control over anything in their entire lives, and they suddenly get a little bit of power over somebody else, and they go absolutely insane over it.
And that's Susan Gerbic in a nutshell. So if you guys are interested in that subject or hearing more about guerrilla skepticism and all that, I found pages where I won't get into this right now, but like the whole Mandela Effect community is being run by a skeptical cabal using Discord to coordinate.
Of course.
So like, again, I think that we have a multi-episode arc here of like censorship goes deeper than just government control just billionaires. It's like this decentralized, useful idiot tool that they don't even realize they're being manipulated. And they're just, I just think that they're just the neckbeard atheists. I don't know what else to call them. It's like they don't believe in anything and they are absolutely vicious in making sure that no one believes in anything and is as miserable as they are and has toxoplasmosis and all the rest. Like as soon as you accept the toxoplasmosis into your life, they'll leave you alone. So
Well, thank you. You should tell that story again sometime. This is a
part I felt of like an insult, and I don't even know why.
It was.
Okay.
It was. All right.
This that was interesting. You should tell that again sometime when no one's in the room or listening to you and you don't have a microphone.
When I'm not here. This is a part of the show where we would normally turn off YouTube, turn off all the other platforms and just go hang out on Rumble with our audience. But this whole show has been the Rumble section. So, but here's the Rumble section. No memes. I miss the memes.
Miss the but memes. I share them on Twitter. Get people talking about it.
I can't wait.
Hashtag Rumble Takeover.
Hashtag shut up, PJ Washington. Hashtag
shut up, I'm dying to talk.
I'm really excited to go see your memes. But in lieu of memes and all this, we can see your chats. We can see your chats right up right there behind the camera. I don't know why I'm telling chat where to find chat, but that's where you are. We're going to do some like favorite highlights reel, I guess. Yeah. So hey, what's one of your favorite episodes that you've ever done?
I already brought up the Hillary Clinton Nephilim DNA. I think one of my favorites was the vampires, werewolves, and Nephilim. Oh my.
Yeah.
And it was one of the hardest episodes we ever put out. It's the only one that we just couldn't get the tech to work. And I spent the next 24 hours just making sure. We spent like almost 8 hours that night just trying to record that episode.
Yeah.
And normally we're just like, here's live. We're live for 90 minutes. And then it was like 4 or 5 hours after we were supposed to be done with the show. We're like up at like 2 a.m. like recording this thing. But that was a fun one. So shout out to Dylan for not screwing up the tech in ways that I do. So
we do have a way of, I'm surprised there haven't been tech issues, because we do have a way of bringing the tech issues with us wherever we go.
Yeah.
Because, well, you talked about Dogman a little bit on that Vampires, Werewolves, Nephilim, Oh My, and Dogman is the one in particular that tends to mess up the tech. I'm kind of looking around waiting for something to start flickering or sparking.
Yeah, blowing.
But even when we went on the confessionals with Tony, that was what? Confessionals episode 564, Entities in the Technology, if you want to check that out. But we brought the tech issues to Tony's show, very professional show, when we talked about Dogman.
Unlike ours, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was. I've had this long history, this long-running battle with the Dogman, and now my son is obsessed with Dave Pilkey's new series of books, Dog Space Man. Mm. So like the one, like the cryptid one word dog man.
Yeah.
He's like obsessed with it. And I'm just like, ah, man. But yeah, no, the first time I ever did an episode on Dog Man, the like parts of the episode just were missing from the file. The stream crashed, did it again. Same thing. Went on a show, said, hey, I keep having this problem. When I mentioned cut out, I was off the show. This happened to me at least 7 times at this point, including when we did Tony's, but that was, it was fun. So we're just tempting fate here is what we're trying to do.
We got to see how much Rumble Studio can handle of the little gremlins in the tech. So one of my favorites, or what a favorite highlight, I guess, is season 2, episode 2. I did an episode on Taylor Swift and whether or not she's a clone of Zena LaVey, the daughter of Anton LaVey. And my conclusion was that no, she's not a clone, but that she purposely copies Zena LaVey in her aesthetic and has been for years and years, copying her makeup, copying her hair, so that when you look at pictures of them back to back, they look very, very similar on purpose, that Taylor is imitating her. Zena herself found this show months after we did it, right?
Yeah.
Shared it on her Facebook.
That's how you know Zena LaVey's age. It was so weird because she's just like, these guys get it. She's not an actual literal clone of me, but she's copying my look. And it was just funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
It's kind of, it's a confusing feeling when a priestess of Satan enjoys your Christian conspiracy podcast.
Comment section under her post was wild. But it did boost, our video a lot, which was funny.
I mean, you got to talk about Raelians.
Oh my gosh. This is the episode that's followed me from season 1, whatever.
Followed you. You've been tugging it along after you.
It was funny because, Abby got sick and I'm like, you know, what would be hilarious is to do an episode about an alien sex cult and just like make her uncomfortable. And then at the end of the episode, I was like, by the way, I think that the Raelians are not a joke and that they're going to be like mainstreamed soon. And a month to the day afterwards, Kanye got kicked off of Twitter for sharing the Raelian symbol, which if you don't know what the Raelian symbol is, because they're a weirdo alien sex cult, it's a swastika inside of a Star of David, which is like the most offensive symbol you could ever come up with. So that was Kanye's exit from Twitter. And
he
was like
back on for what, like 6 hours before he let Nick Fuentes tweet from his account and tweeted out the Raelians logo.
That was a wild episode of Alex Jones InfoWars.
One of my favorites is Ohio, a hot spot of uncanny phenomena. If you guys have been following us for any length of time, you'll know that Ohio is not real. And there's lots of reasons for why Ohio isn't real. But I go into a lot of them in that episode.
I know it's not real because I go to Ohio every week.
I know it's not there because when I look at the map,
if you've been to Ohio, you'll know why it's not real.
When I look at the map, Ohio has glitter on it.
What was that? I'm trying to remember what's a reference to.
So when you Google,
oh, it was the Dragons episode.
It was the Dragons episode. So that's quick recap: if you Google, are dragons real, or dragons dinosaurs, or dragons the same thing as dinosaurs? That, I think that's the search term.
Right.
What comes up almost first, or one of the first hits, is this weird little like teaching how to teach your kid about dragons and dinosaurs page. And they were like, you should cut out pictures of dragons and dinosaurs, but put glitter.
So on your kids know that it's not real because of glitter.
Put glitter on the,
what
on
if
the
their
dragon.
Mom's a stripper? Then they're used to seeing a real person covered in glitter.
Mm.
So it doesn't work for everybody. If you grew up in a trailer park in the Midwest, it does not work for you.
I don't know what to say to that.
Answered Sater says, my favorite episode was the gargoyle smut review. Y'all peaked that night.
We did. We did peak with the gargoyle smut book review.
I don't even want to explain that one. Look, if you want to go back and watch the show and look for it and find it at some point, it's one of those amazing inside jokes I will not explain. I'm going to be David Lynch on this. I'm just not going to explain it.
I think we valleyed there. I think it's been all uphill.
We did descend into the depths of hell for the chat on that one.
That was the time we made the mistake of audience capture. Yeah. We let our audience pay us
to make content
and never again. Yeah. We won't be audience captured again. One of my favorites that you have presented is Gold Juice, season 3, episode 16.
Gold Juice was a very interesting episode. That was one where I found answers I didn't know I was looking for, and I found them like last minute. Did that one get taken down off of YouTube and put back up? I can't remember.
Well, but maybe.
I think it did.
It's up now,
but I think it was like for a time it was taken down or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that was an interesting one. I just feel like it's one of those ones where this show, like, I love getting into the conspiracy stuff where everybody's got this like rote path, right? Like, this is the thing that enough people don't talk about, is there's a path for doing a conspiracy show, which is, this is exactly the take that you should have on the Philadelphia experiment. This is exactly the take you should have on the Mandela effect.
Which, can I
this
stop
is exactly
you?
The, yeah.
It's crazy how in the conspiracy community, there is a approved narrative on conspiracy theories, on what the conspiracy theorists
100%
are allowed
to
believe.
We've never lived down people getting mad at us for not thinking the earth is flat. But like, yeah, there is a carved out path where like it's become kind of lazy. And even with adrenochrome, I was just like thinking to myself, like, there's a way that everybody talks about this, and I'm not sure we're understanding. Like,
what
we went
is?
Into the science in the Canadian labs in 1958 and all these things. And I'm like, I think we're missing a huge part of this thing here. And it was one of those times I wasn't looking for an answer that I think I found, and I haven't heard anybody else cover that episode way at all. But I love getting off the beaten path of conspiracy theory stuff, where it's like, they're sometimes we're looking at old ones and going like, what have people considered that? Your QAnon episode's an example of that. Where again, it's like skeptics, conspiracy theorists, like there's people who are just debunkers. And there's, you know, which is not skeptical at all. And there's people who are just, I'm going to believe whatever is interesting or eye-catching or fun to believe in and gather all these badges if I believe in more conspiracies than you. And I think that's where our show tries to bridge the gap of like, we are skeptics. We are conspiracy theorists. And because we actually care to look for truth as much as we care to entertain people, we're finding things once in a while, like the Gold Juice episode or the QAnon episode or a few others where it's like, nobody else is going to find that because they're just trying to figure out like, what's the path that I need to take. Like you said, an audience capture. Like, what's my audience going to like me saying?
Yeah. The two types of episodes I like doing the most are the secret third way episode, where there's a debate between two paths, and we find the secret third way of the secret third option of a take.
And it's always Indian burial grounds.
It is always.
Time traveling Bigfoot.
It's Don't Vax, the Cocaine Yeti episode.
That's what I was referencing.
That's the... The Dyatlov Pass episode,
Dyatlov
I should
Pass
say.
Is what it's really called. But Cocaine Yeti's a better name.
Alex Kun said that one of his favorite episodes was the Jack Posobiec one, the post millennial.
Oh right, yeah.
One, which is honestly one of my favorite, was one of my favorites to do because I felt like I got to do actual investigative journalism.
You were like Deep Throat, and you're like meeting with Deep Throat, like at a bench where he's got the
It was dark. All cloak and dagger.
Cloak and daggers.
I mean, you joke, but it's true.
I wasn't even joking. It was
the people
like
who talked to me were scared. They were scared. It was like, can I call you from the secret number on Signal? you're not recording this, right? And all of that. But my second favorite type of episode to do is just to invent a completely new conspiracy theory, or discover, I should say, a completely new conspiracy theory. And I think the biggest one I've done of those is The Tree of Life and Psychedelics, The Twilight Prophecy, Season 2, Episode 10.
Yeah.
That's
still one of my favorites from your, yeah.
That one, I can't even describe that one. I think people should just go.
What I was going to say. I was going to say something about it. And I was like, It's one of those ones where it's like, Abby sends me this idea and I'm like, that sounds schizophrenic. And then she puts it together. I was like, I believe new things now that I didn't know that I was missing. So that was a very fun episode.
At the time, you did not tell me it sounded schizophrenic. You said, that sounds like a great episode, Abby.
There's times where I just bolster Abby. I'm like, we'll see if she's a train wreck or not.
It's going to be great. Right?
I've got to give her at least confidence going into these.
But to that end, it's been a while since I've touched on the Tree of Life stuff and Genesis 1 stuff. There's just so much interesting conspiracy stuff in Genesis, particularly the first couple of chapters, but all the way through Genesis, honestly, and all the way through the Bible. So I'm starting up a new series in just a couple of weeks, beginning with Genesis 1:1, and getting into all the weird, weird stuff in the Bible that nobody talks about, not in Sunday school, not in church, and not really ever at all. So I'm really, really excited about that.
I want to shout out Gypsy Princess 75 over here. It says, I'm new here and I think you're my new favorite show already. Can't fall for every conspiracy theory. And I just love it when people, this is a cool opportunity for us to do a noontime stream and get to see people who maybe have listened to us at other times or later get to be here live. So thank you, Gypsy Princess, for that. And don't vax me and everybody here. Answer Sater says, more schizo, please. Schizo maxed. He would say that.
He would. But I'm taking it. If Sater asks for more schizo, I will deliver more.
I know this is in your notes, so I'm just going to bring it up now.
Do it.
I've seen at least 5 people talk about the, where is it? World's Fair rabbit hole and the Tartaria stuff.
Yeah.
That was my favorite and least favorite series to do. I've never researched a subject deeper in my life than those 3 episodes. That's not a joke.
It drove me crazy.
We were talking about it all the time. It was months I was researching this. Like, not like, sometimes we'll do it like just a week or 2 weeks at a time. That's why we trade off. That one was months. We put it off months and I was just researching. And still people are mad because we didn't take the paved path or the worn path on it.
Yeah.
But because of that, I think it found like really interesting things that nobody else was talking about. So that's my least favorite that I did, but one I'm still kind of proud of, I guess. I don't know. It drove me a little nuts.
There are definitely times we do episodes and they do not feel good.
We hate doing them.
Yeah.
But they're not bad episodes.
But they're important. I think my least favorite that I still think was really important was The Finder's Cult. That was season 2,
that's
episode
a good
24.
One to bring up in that vein because that one was hard. Like I researched it and like there's a separation you have when you're reading something, when you have a conversation.
You have to say
and
it out
the
loud.
Moment I started reading my notes, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is way worse than I thought it was. Like, not worse than I thought. I didn't realize the emotions that were going to come through.
Conspiracy theories are fun. Like, it's fun. There's something intrinsically fun about, like, teasing the narrative and poking it with a stick and, like, shaking things and see what they come out, what comes out and all of that. But so often we get into these dark places of like Epstein Island or child traffic. Finder's Cult is, if you don't know, a child sex abuse issue. And it's, you suddenly cross from this fun, entertaining conspiracy space into something really serious.
And it's weird because like you want to make jokes because it has to do with like weirdos living in their van using the internet, you know, in the 1982 or something like that. But it's like, there's jokes there, and then there's like, oh yeah, but like this is a real CIA run, declassified, real CIA run sex trafficking operation, and like you get to the reality of it. You're like, oh yeah, that's pretty dark.
It's especially with the child sex trafficking stuff. Yeah. When the theory isn't 100% proven, when it's still just kind of a conspiracy theory, and a lot of the Epstein stuff is proven, but a lot of the Epstein stuff is still kind of floating out there nebulously. And so it's easier to talk about because it's not completely real. And you can kind of stand apart from it and laugh about how Epstein didn't kill himself and all this stuff. But when you get to something like the Finders cult and you can't separate yourself from it anymore because it's so well established, and you have to just hit something in the face of it being real. And I think that's something in this space, a weakness in the conspiracy theory space, where oftentimes we have that like disconnect from reality when we are talking about things that are really, really dark.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a tough one. I also just want to say, I know the chat is on top of it and wonderful and answered Lex Roney's question, which said, new to this, just found you on the front page of Rumble. When do you go live?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we do. We go live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have other streams that we're trying to get back into doing a little bit more. So honestly, in the description of our bio or in the description of this video, you'll see a link to Discord. Follow us on Instagram. There's a page there, things like that. We do more than that. We also have a Thursday show on Locals. But yeah, if you just show up on a Wednesday night live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, catch the main show. You'll hear all explained a million times. But thank you for being here. Thank you again to Rumble for front paging us, for giving us the opportunity to come into this studio.
Yeah,
this is such a huge moment for us because I'll say it again. I don't mean to sound like we're just, you know, Rumble fanboys, but we are.
We are.
We are.
Well, I'm
right?
A girl. I'm a girl.
Fan. You're a fan girl. I'm not a fan girl.
You're a boy.
I'm a boy. But the opportunity to come into the studio and be here live and be a part of something that we've felt for years has been on the front page of free speech. And it's given us an opportunity to do the show in a way that we just literally couldn't have done a few years ago. I did a conspiracy show before I met Abby, and it was plagued with like, how do we say things without getting screwed? Because our only options back then, legitimate options back then, were Twitch and YouTube, and we've been kicked off of Twitch already. We're working on the YouTube one. So this show won't be live on any of those, only live on Rumble right now. We'll probably put it there. But again, if you are watching this later on any other platform, this is our home. It's rumble.com/conspiracypilled. So please come and follow us there. Support Rumble, support the show.
Very last thing. One of the things we've noticed lately as conspiracy theories have been going more and more mainstream, particularly in conservative media, with Rumble has really taken off with conservative thought, like the like Dave Rubin, Bongino, Crowder, all of them. And then the video gamers are coming over from Twitch. And I think that one of the things we're seeing now is that conspiracy theory content is becoming more and more mainstream in conservative circles. And one thing we really want to do is start bridging that gap between conservatives and conspiracy theorists to have more of these conversations, because not everybody likes conspiracy theories. A lot of people don't like to touch them at all, but we're living in a world where we kind of have to, where we all went through 2020 together.
I'll actually challenge what you just said. People think they don't like conspiracy theories. True. I've never met a person who doesn't believe a few.
Yeah.
And studies show, like even the most skeptical debunker type minds have written books on this, and they've shown that every person of every walk of life, of every political stripe, has their conspiracy theories. And we're working on ways to bridge that gap with content creators of other types who want to come on and talk about theirs and talk to us and bridge those gaps.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of important conversations to be had because, again, we saw that conversation. We just had this recently about the mainstream conservatism having a bit of a problem with the conspiracy community. And I say to them, none of you believe that Joe Biden is in control of the government.
Everyone believes in the deep state now.
Everybody believes in the deep state. And no one believes that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was blown up by Russia. I've never met a one. And my point there is like, maybe there is a conversation to be had with people like us who aren't afraid to challenge the narrative a little bit.
Yeah.
And we can have those conversations, especially people who I think like us are skeptical. We're not like buying into everything. That is a huge problem in the conspiracy community. It's one that we address. And I think we can address those issues together with other people, like you said, in the conservative movement.
Yeah. Yeah. One example is Spencer Klavan came on our show, season 2, episode 15. And he's not a conspiracy theorist. He doesn't believe in many conspiracy theories, but he does think that Pete Buttigieg is not gay. So we did an episode called Obama is Gay and Pete Buttigieg is Not. That was a really fun episode with somebody who generally speaking, isn't buying into the conspiracy theories, but you know, you're we've always had have
such
your
an amazing conversation, because the fun part of that is these are like low cost, like I said, low impact conspiracy stuff. And I think it started a conversation where we did like an hour long show, and we did a 3 hour long Rumble only section where we talked about like the metaphysics of the universe and philosophy and literature, like, because it's Spencer Klavan. Yeah. Of course you're going to get 3 hours of like the deepest conversation you've ever had in your life. But that right there is kind of the point, right? Yeah. Is that we can have these conversations. They bridge into like really, really amazing things. Swimhook says, hashtag release PJ's browser history. What are you hiding, PJ? I've told you guys, because of this show, my browser history is really bad. I keep seeing the jokes about VPN sponsorship. We had a VPN sponsorship and they never emailed us back.
They didn't want to be associated with your browser history.
I don't know like why. They're like, hey, we like your show. Let's sponsor you. And I was like, cool, let's get us a thing set up. So they can go to like this, I won't say where they are, / conspiracy pill, and then just nothing. So if you got a VPN sponsor for us, have them email me at pj@conspiracypill.com. We need it for the jokes. We've got a...
Yeah.
We've got a supplement sponsorship. We got a coffee sponsorship. The only thing that we're missing as conspiracy, well, we got a GMO free sponsorship. Uh-huh, the only thing we're missing is a VPN sponsorship. Yep. That's what we're working for, guys.
Yeah. So, tonight, when we would normally be streaming our show,
yes,
7 p.m. Eastern, we are going to be releasing one of our behind the paywall episodes. So it was Unhinged episode 53, The Blob from Outer Space. That's going to be released tonight. So we mentioned earlier, Unhinged is our behind the paywall show that you can get on Locals for $5 a month. We have 61 episodes up on Locals at the moment, and we add one every week.
And tomorrow night, number 62, Biblical Bigfoot or Biblical Sasquatch with Justin Brown is coming out. That was a fun one to pre-record. So because I'm traveling, it will be a pre-recorded. But yes, tonight at 7 on Rumble, you will get a sneak peek of what I think is one of my favorite Unhinged episodes we've done recently. And it ties into another episode we did called Atmospheric Beasts beautifully. So if you like the Atmospheric Beasts episode, which is, it's one of my favorite of this season. And it's really good. Then you want the full context of it. It's a great place to go. So you'll get that for free tonight. You get to be freeloaders tonight. But if you want to support the show, you want to support the fight for free speech, come over to conspiracypill.locals.com. Sub. Again, you get a bonus episode every week, and they're unhinged. They're a lot of fun.
Yes. We don't self-censor, but we do try to be like a little bit more normal, a little bit more hinged for our Wednesday night shows, so that you can like get you in the door, so you're not like scared away by us being too weird.
And then
weird.
We can talk about the alien sex cult stuff that everybody's asking in the chat. Look, W56, Italian alien sex hippie cult. That's another episode.
Yeah.
So if the Raelians wasn't enough for you.
Yes, there's a steady stream of alien sex cult content for you if you subscribe. Is that a good enough pitch? Is that enough to get you guys?
If you're not willing to spend $5 a month to get alien sex cult content, I don't know what's wrong with you.
I can't help you. I can't.
There's nothing we can do for you guys. But until then, yes. So tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, come back, watch the behind the paywall content, the free episode we're giving you about the green blob from outer space. Come over to conspiracypill.locals.com tomorrow for Biblical Sasquatch, talking about the Epic of Esau with a fantastic guest. And please just like, share, subscribe to the page, support Rumble and what they're doing. Another big shout out to Rumble for bringing us here. Thank you, Abby, for letting me stay in your wonderful home.
Never again.
And not making me sleep on the streets of Washington, D.C. while I'm out here. We will be back next Wednesday. So we will see you guys then. Have a great night, everyone. And God bless.
Bye.